Some of you have grown up around Christianity, but you've grown up with, well, you have the wrong image of Jesus. You've grown up with a mellow, powerless figure on a wall.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Halleck. I'm with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. One church in over 25 communities, reaching three language groups, and a heart and a passion to have an impact in every community in our city. Pastor Mark, thank you for the ministry that you've poured out over three decades here in Chicagoland. And there's friends who have moved recently to Chicago. They don't know where to go to church. They're looking for a heads up. They happen to be listening today. And what direction would you give them?
You know, I want to say that there's great churches all over the city of Chicago. Many of the pastors are friends of mine. So I would say find a church. If you want to make Chicago your city, find a community of faith. If you're not plugged in already, I would encourage you to visit our website at newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Click on locations and you'll find 26 locations around Chicagoland in the suburbs as far as Elgin, Montgomery. And by the way, for those of you that listen in Indiana, we've actually have a location in Hobart and in Hammond, Indiana as well.
Yes. Chances are there's someone that you know that lives near one of these locations. If you're looking to plug in a family member, looking to make a visit to somebody that you know and get them into a good church, think of New Life. One of the great distinctives of New Life is that we're all over the city with a passion for the good of the city, and we're driven by local pastors.
That's right. So if you go to these locations, you'll find we're on the same message, but we have not a video screen. We have live teaching pastors right at that place. So we're a bit of a unique church. We have gatherings that are small as 100 and gatherings that are small as large as 1,600 people that gather. But you have a lot of different flavors, neighborhoods, ethnicities represented. And I believe that you can find a church that matches your DNA.
We'd love to meet you. Come visit us. Plan your visit at newlifechicago.org.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Tonight, we are in the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Contagious People, and our text will be found in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
You and I, hey, life makes us leak. How about it? You get the wind knocked out of you at work, the wind knocked out of you in dealing with problems and issues. You get bombarded by temptation. There's stresses around you. You're being fed a bunch of messages and noises all over. And by the time you reach the end of the day, you're deflated because you're leaking. What helps pump that in, what helps pump your spiritual tire up is this: you are getting a constant flow of the teaching of the Word of God, fellowship, worship, and prayer, so that you are keeping your own spiritual tire inflated. Amen? The second thing, mark of contagious people, is that they embrace an atmosphere of faith and expectation. Look at what it says in verse 43. Everyone, not just a few people, but everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. This early church, this people of faith, not only were they putting into practice, committed to habits that would keep them spiritually hot, but this group of people, they were operating, they had embraced the atmosphere of faith and expectation, and they expected God to move. They expected God to do things, and they were seeing God do supernatural, powerful, unexplainable things because they were living and walking in a way where they expected God to work in supernatural ways. Let me tell you something about faith. There can be an atmosphere of faith or an atmosphere of unbelief. And to a large degree, we help create that atmosphere by our spiritual disposition. For example, in Mark chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, Jesus is in his hometown where he grew up, and they imagine knowing Jesus since he was a little kid and saying, well, who is he? Well, this is, you know, this is Jesse, son of Joseph and Mary. He grew up down the block from us. I mean, we went to school with him. He was always a little bit, well, he seemed like a special guy. Really liked him. Well, he grew up in his own hometown, and when he went back to his own hometown, Jesus said a prophet is not a prophet in his own hometown. And so when he went back to his own hometown, people came out to see him, and they said, oh, hey, Jesse, how you doing? And he could heal no one or do no miracles except heal a few. Do no miracles except heal a few because of their what? Because of their unbelief. They were so accustomed to Jesus as they knew him, that they could not accept Jesus as they had not known him. They could not accept Jesus, the Son of God, miracle worker, powerful, omniscient, full of God and full of power. They could not accept that Jesus because they were so accustomed to the Jesus that they had grown up with. And Jesus did not start moving and operating in his calling until he was 30. He was sort of a dormant cell until he was 30. Then he came on mission, and for 3 years, he operated in the mission to which God had called him. Some of you have grown up around Christianity, but you've grown up with, well, you have the wrong image of Jesus. You've grown up with a mellow, powerless figure on a wall that you pray to when you're in trouble, because he's the suffering Jesus, and you figure he can relate to my suffering. But that's all you know, is you know the crucified Jesus. Blood trickling down his face. Some of you walked into places of worship for years, and you looked at his sorrow-filled eyes, and the blood dripping, and the nails in his hand, and you say, Jesus, I'm going through a tough time like you're going through a tough time. We can relate together. You were hurt, I'm hurt. You were battered, I'm battered. People misunderstood you, misunderstood me. Please have mercy on me because you understand that. Well, I believe Jesus suffered, don't get me wrong. But you need to embrace the resurrected Jesus. That Jesus is no longer on a cross. That's why we don't have crosses with Jesus on it. Because the Jesus that I'm talking to you about is not that Jesus, bruised and battered. I'm talking about the glorious resurrected Jesus that has fire in his eyes and power in his hands. The one that ascended and defeated death and the grave and is resurrected to the right hand of the Father and has placed all power and principality and might and dominion under himself and sets to the right hand of the Father. I'm talking about the Jesus that controls the sea and the Jesus that releases power, the Jesus that has power to heal and resurrect the dead, the Jesus that is an overcoming Jesus. I'm talking about that Jesus. And when you know that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, who said, I have to leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. When you know his power and his might, when you read the Word of God, then you begin to have a faith expectation level that God is here present. Some of you grew up in churches where you never expected God to show up or no one to change or miracles not to happen. And some of you grew up in churches where you went to church just to sort of pay your respects to God, but no one was ever transformed. Gangbangers weren't converted. Marriages weren't restored. People's lives weren't turned around. You never saw answers directly to your prayer. You grew up in that kind of atmosphere, and you brought that kind of mentality to your new experience. And I want you to say, that's not the Jesus that I'm talking about. It's not the Jesus that grew up in his hometown. This is the resurrected, powerful Jesus. And unless we understand that, like his own hometown, he could do no miracles among them because of their unbelief. So I want us to start moving as a people, believing. We come with expectation. What is God going to do? How is God going to move? Because when the resurrected Jesus is among us and his power is among us, then nothing is impossible for our God. Amen? Nothing is impossible for our God. So not only do contagious people practice habits that fan the flame of passionate spirituality, they embrace an atmosphere of faith and expectation, which is an incredible adventure with God. Number three, they promote a culture of overflowing generosity. Listen to what it says in verse 44. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now you can imagine that thousands of people had come to Christ, 3,000 in one day. This is the day of Pentecost. They didn't all live in Jerusalem, so they left their jobs to come and live in Jerusalem. So there was a whole bunch of people in the church that had no jobs because they were worshiping there. And so there was this culture of generosity that was expressed in the early church. People were bringing people into their homes, sharing their meals together with them. And some of them were saying, hey, all these people, they need something. I'm going to sell my house down the street, my vacation house, and I'm going to donate it to the cause. There was this incredible generosity that was there in their heart and their lives as they followed God. I believe that when we begin to get on fire for God, there becomes a culture of overflowing generosity. And I'm not talking just about financial generosity. I'm talking about that we are givers and not just takers. That we give and don't just receive. When our hearts are on fire for God, when we're living with fire in our hearts, we realize everything that God has to offer, I have. I have his love and his mercy and his power and his resources, and they're in me. And because I have a lot, I give a lot. So I can give mercy, and I can reach out to people, and I can bless people and help people and encourage people and donate things and go to Mexico and help start and give to missions and start an after-school program and help people out. I'm not just out there saying, how can people help me? I'm saying, I know I have something to give. I have something that God has given me. It may be finances, but I may not have a lot of finances, and I give of my talents and I give of my gifts and whatever God has given me. I become a giver of my generosity and not just a taker.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk Radio message called Contagious People, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Red Hot Faith. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And Pastor Mark's message is called Contagious People.
Let me tell you something about people of God that are full of God. A church and a people that understands who they are in God, they become a generous, overflowing, blessing church. When we prayed for this building, and it was way above our budget to buy this building, some of you are here. It's like we bought 84,000 square foot building. You know what we called it? Building to bless. You know why? Because our intention was never to build a cathedral where people come and just... No, no, no. Our whole idea was, let's get a building that overflows in blessing to the community. So that because we're in the community, it's a better place. That because we're there, the power and the love of God cannot be contained within the four walls of a building. But we're going to bless and overflow and help and minister. We're going to become agents of change that cannot be contained in the walls of a building. So we will build to bless. And that idea has never stopped. We're not just here. We don't just cluster in a building to say, let's have our little holy huddles and hopefully leave and, you know, We don't want to bother the neighbors. We don't want to. No, I want to bother the neighborhoods in a good way. I want to help and bless and encourage. Why? Because we become givers. When a church starts understanding who they are, they give. We give to missions and we launch out and we go beyond because we know we have something to give and something to offer. They became extraordinary in their generosity. Number four, contagious believers and people not only practice habits that fan the flame of passionate spirituality, they embrace an atmosphere of faith and expectation. They promote a culture of overflowing generosity. They also cultivate a strong, authentic relationship with other believers. Notice what it says in verse 46. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. The temple courts was in the early church. Obviously, the church had just been birthed. They didn't have a building. So they met behind the temple. I've seen the replica of what they call Solomon's porch, which was part of the temple that was kind of open air. It almost just had a roof over it and columns there. And the early church met thousands of them. They met not in a building because they didn't have a building. They met wherever they could. It was the equivalent of meeting in a plaza. So they met every day. Every day. Pastor, do I really have to come for an hour and a half on Sunday? I mean, I'm going to stay home and watch it on live stream. Hey, if you're home right now watching a live stream, you better be here next Sunday. I'm messing with you. They met every day. It says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And they broke bread in their what? In their homes. You mean they were getting in each other's homes? Yeah. And they did it with glad and sincere hearts. What I want you to notice is they had the mixture of the big gathering and the small home gathering. There was thousands of them that gathered together. Some of you come here and say, well, Pastor, I don't know people. The church is too big and I sat there and, you know, I don't know. It's hard to know people. Hey, there's always, you're not going to know everybody in this church. There's 5,000 of us citywide. And right here, there's 1,500 that come on Sunday morning. At max, if you're real social and reach out, maybe you'll know 200 people by name. Most of you are not that social. And you don't have to know all 200 people or all 1,500 people by name. I don't. But what you do need to be is you need to know 6 to 10 people by name. And not just know their name. They met at a large gathering. That's why we're so adamant about small groups. We want you to connect in a small group. That's why this church has 200. Citywide, we had 270 small groups that meet. We meet in homes. We meet in church. We meet in classrooms. Why? Because we want you to grow. And the way that you grow is authentic relationships with other people that you can connect with and do life together. Listen, it says, and every day they met together, they broke bread in homes, they ate together, glad and sincere hearts. You're only going to grow strong and on fire when you hang out with other people that are growing strong and on fire as well. Let me tell you, I want you to connect with unbelievers. I want you to be light in your neighborhood. But if you are here today and you have no believing friends, like you don't hang out, you just come to church here, but you don't hang out with believers. You can't call someone up and say, pray for me. You don't know people that get into your lives. Then I'm going to tell you, I can guarantee you're going to fall into lukewarmness. Because if everybody around you is living in the world and partying and doing this, and you're the only believer, but you're not hanging out with other believers, it's only a matter of time before you're on the edge and just hanging on to your spiritual life before you topple over and get over-influenced by the people that are around you. You need a core of people. You need a brotherhood or a sisterhood that you are connected with. Our small groups start up in a couple of weeks. If you're not a part of a small group, you need to make a mental note. I will be a part of a small group. Some of you men are like, Pastor, you know, I don't like to sit around the group and they're going to ask me to pray and I don't pray. I don't want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, man. I don't do that. They're going to ask me to talk about my feelings. Hey, believe me, men, we don't have a bunch of sissy groups. We got men group. It's more like I'm going to get in your face and into your heart and into your life, because most of our men have been through what you've been through and more and everything in between as well. And these are other men that are going to spar with you and encourage you and push you on to live aggressively, to step up and lead your household, be a parent to your children, live radically for Jesus, let go of the sin in your life, start living on course for God, make a difference in this world. You want to be a part of a men's group, you'll join that kind of group. Amen? So try it. Become a part of a men's group. If you're a man. Some of the single sisters getting all excited. Hey, Pastor, I can. No. You can join the women's group. But let me tell you, you want a bunch of men in a men's group learning to be godly men. So that single sisters, you have a lot more selection of godly men that are powerful, living in God, walking for God. You want that, believe me. You want that. And lastly, number 5, verse 47. They build a good report with people who are seeking God. You see, it says in verse 47, they were praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, what I love about this church is that I feel like we have a good core of people that have walked with Jesus, are loving God, are following God. But every single week, there are people here, and this week is no exception, that you are here and you don't know God. And you're not a follower of Jesus. And someone just invited you. And you're straight off the street saying, man, I don't know how to do church, but man, how did I get here? And you know what? I am so happy you're here. I'm like thrilled. Because you are part of why we do this. Because part of our vision and our mission is to be a light and salt in the world, because all of us here were there at one time and someone invited us, prayed for us, gave us the message, and we came to know Jesus. And so I'm not talking about a ghetto Christianity where we are clustered in the four walls of some church looking out the windows and hoping that no pagan comes around. A lot of people have that mentality. Let's do our hymns, our Bible. It's a bad world out there. Don't let any of them in here. Are you kidding me? I want to fling open the doors of the church, open all the windows and say, hey, come on in. We got something here you need. The power of the living Jesus is in this place. Come with your garbage and your mess. Come with your unbelief and whatever you have and dare to experience an encounter with the living God who can change you upside down, cleanse you inside out, resurrect you in a new life in Jesus. Hey, come on in. And we need to care enough about our neighbors and the people around us that are seeking and that don't know God. We need to be contagious people that care for those. We need to care enough to learn what their needs are. Most people that come to God aren't looking for God. They're looking for relief. Very few of you that are here said, I really need God in my life and I'm coming because I'm a sinner and I need a God to wash me of my sin. Very few people come because of that. Most people come because they're looking for relief. They say, I'm depressed and I need something. I'm having a huge marital difficulty and I don't know where else to go.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago, and this was the second half of his message called Contagious People, which is from our current series called Red Hot Faith. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.